You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
Boom, like a sharp stick in the eye right there. This is Bill Carnes right here on 2A Radio. Welcome to the show, everyone. As it turns out, we just had a good Labor Day weekend. We are going to do some good stuff coming up next weekend. Now, last week, I spoke a little bit about sighting in rifles and where to sight in and distances to sight in, and I got a couple of emails from some listeners letting me know how it went. And as I had mentioned, I had prefaced the entire thing with plan a day of this, or at least a major portion of the day. And whatever you have on either side of the day, here's the new little bit of information. Don't have anything at any specific time. Like, I'm going to do this later this afternoon or something tonight, but I got to be somewhere at 3 o'clock and another place at 5, whatever. You're going to have trouble. Sight in of a rifle takes a day out of your time, which makes for a really wonderful hunt. Provided all of your guns, gear, ammo, all that selection and everything is done, sighted in, ready to go. Do not take a cooler of beer with you when you go to sight in. Bad deal. Okay? No guns and booze mixing. Zero. And we're not talking about, you know, legal limits. There's none. Just don't do it. So, anyhow, I got some emails back on how that went. It was nice to see. I will actually be spending some long-range rifle time this coming weekend on the range. In fact, I am doing a private precision rifle course with a client out of Las Vegas who needs to be a little bit more efficient at long-range distances. So we're going to do some things with long-range precision hunting gear and sighting in. Plus, he's actually bringing out a sniper rifle, and we're going to reach out even further with that. I have a range with about 800 yards available, which, considering the gun with all of the makeup that this guy's got, all of the gear, 800 yards is about the maximum effective range. So I will set up a nice little range tent of sorts and then set out the targets at different distances from there, so we can actually remain stationary and zing on targets that are way out there. We're going to start at, we'll start at 25 yards to make sure that he's sighted up, and then we'll go from 100 out to 800 and have alternating every 50 yards other targets. So I got to get a bunch of targets together. We're going to set this thing up, and we're going to have one heck of a time. So we'll get his hunting gear sighted in, we will get his precision gear sighted in, and actually have plenty of time to do some techniques once we're actually sighted in. So looking forward to that. This is a guy that I've known for a few years. He's taken several classes with me. Just a good, solid guy. As a matter of fact, by trade, this guy's also a plumber, and he was nice enough to come out to my house a couple of months ago and actually do a little bit of gratis plumbing work around the house. You know how it is. You know, you end up, my house is about 3.5 years. I guess it was actually constructed about 4 years ago. And, you know, you get the little leaks here, the drip there, you know, the hard water deposits that are causing problems here and there. And, you know, this doesn't drain as well. Anyhow, this fella came out and handled all of that gratis, rode his bike out from Vegas, brought some simple tools. I've got some tools, and he got everything done. As a matter of fact, while he was there, he made a few bucks dealing with the neighbor because the neighbor had a couple of toilets that weren't doing so well. So this guy repaired one of them, and then we went to the store to get some things for my house, and he fixed the other problem for my neighbor, which was he was very happy about because he's just one of these guys that doesn't really care for those sorts of noisy things and problems going on and leaky toilets, which I can totally understand with that. So anyhow, we had a lot of people going out on their Labor Day weekend, 3-day weekend, going out to the range. A buddy of mine was going out to the new Clark County Shooting Park yesterday and called me and told me that they were closed. As it turns out, their regular days to be closed are Monday, Tuesday. Wow. Since most 3-day weekends are that on a weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I would think it would behoove them to actually remain open on Mondays and maybe close Tuesday, Wednesday? Oh, it's a 3-day weekend, guys. Okay, stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're listening live right here on 2A Radio.
It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
All right. All right, everybody, right here, you're listening to Bill Carnes at 2E Radio Live. We're going to get right to it. There is an Ohio gun bill that would, as they say, expand owners' rights. And I have, I really take issue with even the sentiment of expanding a right. What that means is if the government believes that they can expand a right, then that means that they control rights. That's not the case, folks. You have to understand that rights are granted to us by our creator when we're born. We have them. The government doesn't control these rights. Unless, of course, you're a 14th Amendment citizen rather than an original class citizen. The government controls all of it. Well, evidently the state of Ohio believes in that as well. On the heels of Senate Bill 239, a proposal which would allow concealed carry permit holders to take a loaded gun into a restaurant that serves alcohol, another piece of legislation is in the works in the Ohio House, which would give more rights, as they say, to employees who are gun owners. Okay. Well, let's read into this. That's House Bill 571, which was introduced by Joe Ucker of the 66th District Representative in Ohio, and is co-sponsored by 30 other representatives, which would amend one of the Ohio Revised Code sections. The law would not allow private employers to prohibit a concealed carry permit holder from storing the employee's handgun in a locked motor vehicle on the employer's premises. Any current employer policy prohibiting such would have to be amended. Now, I am all for the state coming forth and saying, you as employers cannot disallow all of your employees to have firearms on the company premises. You can disallow them from bringing it into work while they're actually working. However, you now are going to assume the liability for their safety if you take it out of their hands. However, you cannot mandate that they can't have it in a vehicle because that would leave them unarmed and susceptible to any sort of death or serious bodily injury, being the victim of a crime, in transit between work and home or wherever they go between home and work if they have any additional stops, like, say, the grocery store, getting gas late at night, whatever it might be, depending on their schedule. So I'm all for these sorts of laws, but to consider calling it expanding of rights? Now, how do employers get away with this? Employers have property rights, do they not? Now, most employers are corporations, which would be essentially a fictitious entity, as it would be considered legally, a fictitious entity. An individual fills out a whole bunch of paperwork and names a bunch of things, pays some fees here and there, and all of a sudden, bam, an entity is there. That entity now controls a piece of property. So rights are guaranteed to individuals. So, by that nature, the fictitious entity of a corporation, does it actually have rights or does it have power and authorities? And someone with rights actually exercises the corporation's powers and authorities. So does a corporation, a fictitious entity that owns a physical piece of property, do they have the ability to alienate your inalienable rights? That's a big question. My answer to that is absolutely not. And I'll give you an example. If you have a business which is public access, it is considered a, what is the term I am looking for here? It is considered a public domain of sorts. That's not actually the term. It's rattling around in the brain somewhere. It is open to the general public. Let's say, let's take, for instance, Walmart. Walmart nationwide is generally a pro-gun company. The Walmart that is in my town of Pahrump, Nevada, in the county of Nye, we're walking around packing exposed all the time in Walmart. Same thing with Home Depot. No problems at all. Matter of fact, the only places in town that seem to have any sort of a problem with it are one or two of the casinos that are in the area. They don't want you to carry a gun. But it is a public domain for the most part. If your doors are open to the public, there's no discrimination whatsoever. Everybody's allowed in and out. You cannot selectively tell people, look, you can't exercise a right in here, you can't exercise a right in here. It'd be the same thing if you say, you can't come in here and talk about Ron Paul because we don't like the guy. Or you can't come in here and talk about Barack Obama because we don't like the guy. They can't subvert your First Amendment rights. They can't tell you, look, you can't wear the Star of David, or you can't wear your crucifix, or you can't wear your turban, whatever it is. They can't do that either. But they want to tell you you can't bring a gun in there for self-protection. It's all the same right. And we're talking about rights being expressed with physical items. By wearing the Star of David, wearing a crucifix, wearing a turban, all physical items that can be removed and stored in a vehicle. Second Amendment rights, removing a gun and storing it in a vehicle. It's all the same. The only way they can truly restrict that is if it is an organization that is membership-based and has some discriminatory factors in the membership. By that, I want to exclude places like Costco or Sam's Club or the Food Mart, something like that, where you can pay a fee to get lower prices on your items which you shop for. However, the only decision in becoming a member is that you pay them money. No. Talking about maybe a country club of some sort that has 12 open memberships and 600 people vying for that membership. That's now not a public domain. So if you walk into a store and they say you can't have a gun or the employees cannot bring guns, that's a violation of your rights. And you can effectively sue. So these laws are good. However, it's not really an expanding of anybody's rights. What it is it's a restoring of rights. It's not expanding rights. It's restoring rights that were allowed to be subverted by the employers. Now, Representative Ucker out of Ohio says, I was approached by some of my constituents who had been dismissed from their jobs for exercising their Second Amendment rights. That means they were fired for having a gun in their car. The question they had was, how can my employer dictate to me what I have in my car? Well, Ohio Senator Jimmy Stewart, yes, Jimmy Stewart, said he is in support of the measure. However, he would like to hear more discussion on the matter. Even though he's a Republican, he wants to hear more discussion. We're talking about rights. There's not much to discuss. He says, I would be inclined to support something similar. Okay, well, that's taking a middle of the road. There's a true Republican for you in this day and age, not actually taking a stand on something conservative, towing the party line, as it were, even at the state level. Wow. After all, you can't be a permit holder if you're not a law-abiding citizen, but you have to have to balance the rights of gun owners with the rights of the property owners. Hence why I prefaced my 5-minute statement on that. Balance the rights of gun owners with the rights of property owners. When the property owner is a fictitious entity, there are no rights. There are no rights. Really. If you are an individual that owns a piece of property, then you have rights. If you own your own home and you don't want somebody to come in there with a gun, tell them to leave it outside. If you don't want them to come in wearing a Star of David, tell them to leave it outside. You don't want them coming in wearing a shirt that says Praise Jesus, have them leave it outside. You don't want them coming in there with a turban, that actually is a rule in my house, tell them to leave it outside. You can do that if you own your own home. It's not public access. It's not a public domain. You can do that. As a business owner, not so much. Now, Stewart, a co-sponsor of the concealed carry law when he was a representative in 2004, also supported Senate Bill 239, which passed the Senate in May. It's not expected to be voted on by the House until they reconvene after the November elections. Now, that's the one that says you can carry a gun into a bar or restaurant that serves alcohol. Now, to not be able to do that, in my opinion, is very, very silly. I live in Nevada. Very few restrictions when it comes to actually carrying concealed. You can carry into a place that serves alcohol. As a matter of fact, this state is quite unique in the fact that you can actually drink while carrying concealed as long as you do not end up over 0.08 blood alcohol content. That's 8% of your blood is not 100 proof. Or I'm sorry. Yeah. Is that right? 200 proof. 200 proof. As long as it's not pure alcohol. Which is the same for driving. 0.08%. Which is pretty well universal across the country for driving. It's the same for packing heat here in Nevada. But to actually be disbarred from even entering into a place, let's say you go into a restaurant, you don't have to order a glass of wine with your meal. You can just be in a place that serves wine with a meal. And they're telling you in Ohio, at this point in time, you can't pack heat while going there. Those are the restaurants that are not going to get your business. Interesting. Well, there are certainly some Democrats who don't like the idea. However, that's just because Democrats, for the most part, don't really care about your rights in general. Specifically, the Second Amendment tends to gripe most of those nerves. Stay tuned, folks. There's plenty more to come. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
And welcome back from the break. Now, here's a story that I can really appreciate. And it's entitled, A Man Will Not Be Charged for Shooting an Officer. All right, so some guy ends up shooting a cop. And he's not going to be charged for it. We're going to get into this story in just a second, but let me give you my own thoughts. I am a former Las Vegas Metro Patrol officer. I worked the streets of Vegas in the mid-90s, badge, gun, all that good stuff. And I worked, there's four notably bad areas in the Las Vegas Valley area. I worked two of those four areas, and I worked them swing shift, which is when crime is a-hoppin'. So, I have seen good cops do really good jobs with these guys. I have seen good cops do a bad job with these guys. And I've seen bad cops do a bad job with these guys. What I haven't seen is bad cops do a good job with these guys. All right, and it's pretty well equal. About a third of the cops are good guys doing a good job. Another third are good guys doing a kind of a half-assed job. They're really not doing that good of a job with really the dregs of society. They treat them as another class of citizen. And then you have the crappy cops, the ones who usually make the news, that are obviously doing a pretty lousy job. So that would be about another third. And quite honestly, that third of the cops are the guys that if they weren't wearing a badge, they'd probably be locked up. And you'll only hear this from honest cops who actually work on either a reasonable or large-sized department. Oftentimes, the small departments are either all dirty or all clean. You don't really have too many bad apples. If you get more than like maybe 50 or 100 cops on a department, you really start to see a difference. And most honest cops will tell you that about a third of the people that they work with would probably be behind bars if they weren't cops. Well, I'm imagining, knowing nothing more than this story, that the cop we're about to talk about ends up in that third of the category. This comes out of Hot Springs, Arkansas. Now, it says a Diamond Head man who shot an off-duty police officer in the shoulder after the officer tried to stop his wife for a possible traffic violation won't face charges, according to the Garland County prosecuting attorney. Patrol officer Fred Ensminger, quote, used poor judgment in his aggressive pursuit of Cindy Nelson and Nelson's husband, Jerry Chambliss. Let's see. Chambliss was justified in using deadly physical force to defend himself and his wife, according to prosecutor Steve Oliver, concluding in a report that was released just this last Friday. Oliver also noted Ensminger wouldn't be Ensminger won't be charged because he acted with the belief he was justified under the color of law. All he knows is some crazy man has launched into a pursuit of his wife, who's evidently driving. According to the report, the off-duty cop, who worked part-time for the gated community's police department, was shot about 5:30 p.m. July 21st by Chambly outside Chambly's residence after the officer followed Nelson home. The officer claimed she had been, the officer claimed that the woman had been reckless driving. Ensminger told Arkansas State Police and Garland County Sheriff's Department investigators that he followed Nelson after seeing her cause a near head-on collision with another vehicle and after she allegedly attempted to run over him when he approached her with a badge during an initial traffic stop. Yeah, sure. Ensminger said that he didn't get out of his vehicle at the couple's home but showed Chambly his badge. Chambly shot him without provocation and the officer returned fire in self-defense. Absolutely, yeah. So you're going to see somebody potentially cause an accident. You're going to get out of your car, show a badge. She's going to try to run you over. You follow them home, and then they shoot at you. That's your story? That's the story of a cop, a dirty, filthy, lying cop who otherwise did a lot of really stupid things figuring he could get away with them off duty, didn't, so had to lie to try to cover his own backside. Now, neither Chambly, the shooter, nor Nelson, the driver, were hurt. Ensminger, the cop, drove himself to the front gates of the community and called for help. He was taken to St. Joseph's Mercy Health Center in Hot Springs, where a bullet was removed from his right shoulder. Now, the driver said that the off-duty cop never identified himself. She says, just because he has a badge, he doesn't have the right to come and try to kill citizens. Every time a car pulls out behind me, we look to see if it's him. Now, that's probably going a little overboard. The report notes that the off-duty cop was obviously not on duty, not in uniform, and was in his unmarked personal private pickup truck. Ensminger had his truck equipped with emergency lights and a siren for his work as a volunteer firefighter, but he didn't activate either as he was pursuing Nelson. Well, that's good. Sounds like this guy's a little too big in his head. Wow, I should be able to be a cop all the time and a firefighter, and I'm just going to go out there and save the world because I'm some sort of law enforcement here in this gated community. And if you don't like it, I will meet you on the tennis court and get you for violating net rules by crowding the whole net. You got to be kidding me, right? So, he got shot for being a dangerous jackass. Surprised that he hasn't actually been somehow otherwise fined or cited for something. Arrested for something? Who knows? Guys, stay tuned. There's plenty more to come. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
And welcome back, everybody. Again, if you ever want to hear any of the older shows that we did, any of the archives, you can go to 2aradio.com and check them out. 2aradio.com, hit the archives page. We've been on the air since, what, March of 09, I think it is? So all of the archives are there, and they are trimmed down without commercials, so you can actually get just what it is, just the show itself. So feel free to look at that. If you ever want to send me an email, you can always send it to bill@2aradio.com, and you know the call-in numbers if you'd like to call in. I've been sitting on this story for a couple of weeks, but I'm going to get to it today. And it has to do with all of the border violence that's going on in northern Mexico on the U.S.'s southern border, and some of it's spilling over. This has to do with some of the corruption that's going on in Mexico. Now, you would have the Obama regime do their very best to stand up the chief Mexican Felipe Calderon as the American stool pigeon to say, see, what we're having is a lot of violence with the drug cartels in Mexico. What is happening is the people in the United States are going to their gun dealers and buying a bunch of dangerous guns and then sneaking them across the border and selling them to the drug cartels. Then the drug cartels are actually shooting up with the police and shooting it up with the military, and there's a lot of violence. And it's coming because the American public is able to buy what we like to refer to as assault weapons. In fact, they're actually only really not even assault weapons by definition of the government, but more so they're actually sport utility rifles. But that's just what's happening. Sure. Yeah. And then here's your $10 billion for the year. Thanks for standing up and being a stool pigeon. Actually did it in front of a joint session of Congress just a couple of months ago. We reported on that. What's really happening? They say that 80% or more of the guns confiscated from the drug cartels come from the United States. Lies. Absolute lies. We have blown the lid off of this a year ago, but they're still trying to claim it. That's not the case at all. What happens is 80% of the guns turned over to the ATF for tracing come from the United States, which is about 15% of all of the guns total that get turned over. They know the rest don't come in because they're marked from other countries or have no markings whatsoever. So the ATF runs the guns. Where's the vast majority of that 80% that they've got? Where's the vast majority of those coming from? They are coming through direct State Department approved sales. When a foreign country or an entity within a foreign country wants to buy American guns, ammunition, or grenade launchers, rocket launchers, machine guns, BMGs, whatever it is, they make an application to the State Department. The State Department looks at it, approves it, denies it, or modifies it, sends it off to the manufacturers to fill the orders. It goes back, and the State Department brokers the deal to the foreign nation. That foreign nation or foreign entity within another nation has to fill out what's known as an end user certificate certifying who's going to get all of this stuff. The State Department approves the sale based largely on that end user certificate. However, the State Department has no enforcement outside of the U.S. borders. So they estimate that 26%, one out of four, plus a tiny bit, of all of the end user certificates to Latin America are falsified at the inception. Okay, so three out of four guns end up where we expect them to. One out of four does not. Well, guess which country leads that 26%? You guessed it, Mexico. Because of the corruption that we have here in Mexico, we buy all of the guns, the fully automatic M16s, and various other rocket launchers and grenades. And then, through the corruption process, they end up in the hands of the Mexican cartel. Of course they do. Of course they come from America. But the ATF and the government that's responsible for these sales to Mexico are not being honest. And not notifying everybody, not coming out into the clear with this new era of transparency, that in fact these guns are coming from the U.S. government to some government agency in Mexico. They leave the docks and go straight to the cartels in most cases, or they leave the docks, go to wherever they're going to end up, military, police, whatever, and then they go to the cartels, still brand new in the box. New magazines, all this great stuff. Well, considering that Mexican corruption, the Mexican police have helped to murder their own mayor. Now, the murder scared part of Mexico that was supposed to be reasonably safe from violence and crime. Santiago is a picturesque little town with waterfalls and colonial churches and holiday homes for the rich and wealthy in Mexico. Mayor Edmiro Cavazo was a blue-eyed 38-year-old educated in the United States, but it seemed that no corner of the entire country of Mexico is completely shielded from the relentless rain of drug-related bloodshed. The killers came from the mayor's, came for the mayor in the early hours of August 16th when seven SUVs rolled up and men in police uniforms descended on the palatial home. Servants stood back terrified as their boss was forced away at gunpoint. And on August 18th, his corpse was dumped on a nearby roadway. That's right. 2 days later, what happened in those 2 days? Call it torture. There was a mercy of sorts in the manner of his killing, shot dead with two bullets in the head and one in the chest, and spared the mutilation and rape infliction, which is on so many other victims. The following day, hundreds of residents wept over his coffin in Santiago's Central Plaza, lining the stairs of the church with candles and holding signs calling for peace. Then on August 20th, more disturbing news broke. This is now 4 days after the abduction, 2 days after his body was dumped. State agents arrested six of the mayor's own police officers and said they confessed to involvement in the murder. Now, you have a mayor. Then you have a police department. The police chief works for the mayor and the city council. So they murdered their boss's boss. The suspects had been working for a drug cartel that is fighting a bloody turf war with its rival throughout the northwest of Mexico. State prosecutors gave us all that wonderful information as if we didn't know that there was drug violence in northern Mexico. Another four alleged gunmen were arrested with automatic rifles and grenade launchers in their possession and accused of being involved in the plot. The revelation had very concerning implications in Mexico's drug war. Officials are now killing other officials. Now, these guns that were taken off the other four, the automatic rifles and grenade launchers, guess what, guys? They are destined to end up in photographs that the Mexican authorities will take saying this stuff came from America. These pictures are all over the internet. And if you actually look closely at the pictures, the vast majority of the photographs that are taken show guns and weaponry which are not available to the general public at the average gun store. It's all through the State Department sales. State Department brokered sales. That's where they're coming from. You see M16s, rocket launchers, grenades, all lined up next to each other. You see a Beretta with the designation M9 rather than model 92. That is a military designation. All of that stuff is brokered through the United States State Department, sold to Mexico or some other country, that filters it into the country through corruption and gets it into the hand of the cartels. You know, these cartels have been found to have actual special forces battalions that are actually part, not a battalion, special forces teams that are part of their drug cartel. They will actually send people into the military, get the high-end training, become special forces, and then recruit the entire team to come work for them. It's just the way that Mexico works. And it's not reserved just to Mexico. The vast majority of third world nations operate on corruption. What can I, as an individual with as much authority as I've got, offer you, and at what price? You get arrested in Mexico? Slip the cop $20, $50. Offer it to them as soon as you get in the car and you start driving. They'll drop you off a few blocks away. Don't insult them by offering them a bottle of tequila. Offer them some cash, and they'll let you out. Why? It's corrupt. Now, the corruption in the United States government is at all levels, from towns, cities, counties, states, all the way up into the federal government. Of course, that's the most corrupt entity. But what the federal government in the United States does a little bit differently when it comes to our representatives in Congress is they call it lobbying. They actually attach a name to the corruption. A lobbyist, say from, let's say, the sugar industry goes in and says, we would like to get your vote on this tariff that's coming up for sugar. We'd like to keep it low. And the sugar industry is ready to donate $20,000 to your reelection campaign if you vote our way. Oh, sure, that's great. Now, of course, the election campaign funds are very interesting. If someone decides not to run or they have something left over when they lose, guess what they get to do with it? Keep it. Okay, so let's collect $25 million for a reelection campaign, have really very little in the way of anybody in the way, spend $5 to $10 million, have 15 to 20 left over in the coffers, and then when I retire, I get to keep that. And let's start building this up for the next election cycle so I can retire with $50 to $100 million in some cases. Now, that is corruption. But it's all legal. Why? Because the scumbags in charge of writing and passing the laws to prevent this sort of thing would be doing nothing more than shooting themselves in their own foot. Well, in Mexico, it is a whole lot less complicated. It's just all out in the open. And that's the way it works. It has nothing to do with the United States. It has nothing to do with you or I exercising our Second Amendment rights to own guns, go into a store and buy them, and then they somehow end up into the hands of a Mexican cartel because we're buying guns. And now Mexico wants to tell the United States that you should have more restrictions on Second Amendment rights? Has nothing to do with their violence problem. What it is it's a money issue. Felipe Calderon, the chief Mexican in Mexico, the president of Mexico, gets paid off. We send them billions of dollars a year. Our government sends their government billions of dollars a year. Since he's president, as soon as that money comes into Mexico, what can he do with it? Whatever the hell he wants to. Do you think Felipe Calderon is making out as president of Mexico financially? I'm quite sure that he is. And I wouldn't be too surprised at all. And this is just me guessing, me taking a stab in the dark. I'm just guessing here, guys. It's a pontification that Felipe Calderon and his administration is probably in direct communication, possibly in direct communication, with several of the drug cartels they are allegedly at war with, trying to keep this thing alive. War is good business. Sure, some innocent, fledgling, scumbag citizens and sorry police officer and pathetic excuses for drug lord soldiers will actually die. But what do we care? They're pathetic minus. Just negatives when it comes to the population of Mexico anyhow. So we're going to allow them collateral damage because we, the government officials and the drug cartel, is going to make a lot of money at this. Well, I'm just imagining that that could be a possibility. I don't know that that's happening. It may be. It may not be. I don't know. I'm not part of the drug cartel or the high-end federal government in Mexico. I'm not familiar with those folks. I'm just saying, it could be possible. Considering what else happens when a mayor gets murdered by his own police department. You want to talk about filthy corruption in Mexico? I watched a 2020 episode 3 or 4 years back where a lot of SUVs that are getting stolen in the southern part of the United States that has a physical land border with Mexico, Texas, Arizona, Southern California, these SUVs are being stolen and driven straight across the border, oftentimes before anybody knows they're stolen. The Tucson Mall in Tucson, Arizona, the number one place in the entire country for stolen vehicles. It's about 50 miles from the border. Well, Tijuana police were filmed driving SUVs with California plates still on them that had been reported stolen, that were now in possession of the Tijuana Police Department and were new unmarked raid and patrol vehicles. That tells you just a little bit about Mexico. There was a judge who was driving a vehicle stolen out of San Antonio, Texas. and we're supposed to trust these folks with billions of our dollars, I say cut them off. If we want Mexico's economy to be good, why don't we buy products from them instead of sending them actual money? That will stimulate their economy. More after the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check, which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
And continuing on about the violence in Mexico, which is spilling north. Specifically in Mexico, in Arizona, the federal government has posted signs along major interstate highways in Arizona, more than 100 miles north of the border with Mexico, warning travelers that the area is unsafe because of drug and alien smugglers. And a local sheriff says Mexican drug cartels now control some parts of the state. The signs were posted by the BLM, Bureau of Land Management. Those of you who are back east don't understand what that is, but they really manage all of the big, open, vast nothingness of land, which is out west. They posted along a 60-mile stretch of Interstate 8 between Casa Grande and Gila Bend, a major east-west corridor linking Tucson and Phoenix with San Diego. I have seen these signs on that highway. They warn travelers that they are entering, quote, an active drug and human smuggling area, and that they may encounter, quote, armed criminals and smuggling vehicles traveling at high rates of speed. Now, being less than 50 miles south of Phoenix, the signs encourage travelers to use public lands north of Interstate 8 and to call 911 if they see suspicious activity. What? This coming from a federal government that says that the border's more secure now than it's ever been? Lies. Why are they lying? Well, the more people that sneak into this country, the easiest way to get in is through the Mexican border. Whether you're from Mexico or some other country, you end up in Mexico and come north. When they are all granted amnesty, all of the people here are legal, all granted amnesty, eventually they'll be able to vote. And when they vote, who are they going to vote for? Well, the scumbag corrupt politicians in D.C. believe that all of those votes are going to go to whichever party happens to be in power at the time the amnesty is passed. Whoever can claim victory in passing the latest round of amnesty, the last back in 1986, they believe they will get that new voting block. That, my friends, is why the border with Mexico is not secured. For political power. Forget all about the murder, the drugs, the human trafficking, the downfall of the U.S. economy. If they can get more votes, then they can wield more power. What comes with more power? More power ends up with more money. Remember Tony Montana in the movie Scarface? First, you get the money, then you get the power. then you get the women. Well, who knows if they want to end up with the women or not. But the money and the power are there, and they want more of it. They are bloodthirsty on it, sickened and drunken on power and money.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com. I will not.